Tomorrow is First Friday, the day of our First Friday Art segment, and we mark the occasion with something like a First Friday Eve, bringing in Josh Gross from the Rogue Valley Messenger, where he's a music editor, for a segment featuring bands coming to the region. We call it Rogue Sounds. Josh, always good to see you.
Always good to see you. Does it feel weird to say see when we're in a like an auditory medium?
I guess I never think about that.
I mean, do they even know that we're like sitting right here? Wouldn't it be more accurate to say if it's good to hear you?
It is. Well, it is good to hear you as well.
Voice, or does that seem like too familiar?
Well, since we're actually laying eyes on each other, I think we could get away with that.
That's got real romantically creepy real quick. All right. Sorry to everyone out there.
It's the Rogue Sounds bromance resuming once again. Okay. So, Marge, I would think that things would be picking up on the band scene as springtime approaches.
Well, you know, if you like changing tires in the mud on the side of the road. No, I mean, look, we are starting to pick up. And there's a lot, it's great because the spring is in the air, as they say, and you know, like, bands are starting to get back on the road as the weather warms up a little bit and everyone's coming out of the Christmas slump. So yeah, there's some good stuff coming to town this month. I'm pretty excited about it.
So we start with Bob Log.
Do not miss this show. This is going to be amazing. This guy, this is like the venue when they got announcement, the venue was like, holy crap, Bob Log is going to come. This is a guy who Tom Waits says is the best guitar player he's ever seen. No one knows what he looks like because he only performs in a motorcycle helmet with a microphone built into it, wearing a full, like, Evel Knievel jumpsuit, and he plays the most wicked, like, old, like, Delta Blues timey stuff. This is going to be a phenomenal show and definitely something that has not come through the valley before.
Let's hear some Bob Log.
Yeah.
I get the sense that maybe the helmet with the microphone inside doesn't render the best acoustical capability.
Well, I think it brings an awesome acoustical. I mean, people go to great lengths to find that sound. There's actually very expensive microphones trying to get that, like, dirty, distorted sound of, like...
Oh, true, like the ripped paper speakers in the...
Yeah. I mean, it's and he found it that you get it from a motorcycle helmet. I mean, this is a one-man band. This is one guy playing everything right now.
Like, really?
Yeah, I mean, this...
How does he do his performances?
You're just going to have to show up and find out. That is the magic of live music, Jeffrey. Come on. Magician never reveals his secrets. You just go see him on stage, I suppose.
Bob Log, it looks like at the end of the month at Johnny B's.
He's going to be March 30th at Johnny B's in Medford. There's a three after that. He's like the third. I'm not actually sure if he's the third generation Bob Log, but his name is usually Bob Log the third.
You mean there could be like new generations of Bob Logs?
There's probably Bob Log the fourth and the fifth out there somewhere, like from how good this guy is on the guitar.
Like the Dread Pirate Roberts?
Exactly. You know, I hope so. I would like there to be multiple generations of Bob Log just being seeded throughout. We are all Bob Log. You know, just put on a helmet and, like, it's really just find the Bob Log inside of you.
I think you've just created bumper stickers several times over. So a very different kind of sound. We were talking about these guys as sort of like the shoegazers. Daydream Machine.
I was going to say other things. Yeah, these guys are out of Portland. They've been around for a while, and they're kind of like sort of like associated with like Dandy Warhol's, Brian Jonestown Massacre, big like bands out of Portland. But these guys are starting to get a little traction of their own. This is going to be their first time in the Valley. They're pretty excited about it, and I'm pretty excited that this sort of sound is like making its way a little further south. So it's pretty cool. Let's hear a little Daydream Machine.
You remember the British band Ride in the original burst of shoegazers, but there's certain sonic similarity here that I pick up.
Yeah, you know, we have an interview that's going to be coming out with them, I believe, in today's issue of the paper, if you pick it up, and they discussed a lot about Britpop influences and how, you know, a lot of their sound is coming from bands like that and Slow Dive and stuff like that. So, yeah, good. Well done, Jeffrey. You get a gold star.
Well, a lot of layering. I have to give credit to the producer, John, for bringing this up, though, because John Baxter was looking at these guys as shoegazers, and I remember that terminology, which I didn't realize until like 10 years after I first heard Ride. It's because they're looking down at their effects pedals a lot.
Yeah, well, no, it's also because they're like, you know, too embarrassed to look at the audience because their feelings will get shattered because they're so delicate. But I don't hang out with a lot of shoegaze bands and want them to toughen up or anything. It's not from personal experience. Anyway, they're going to be coming to Grants Pass March 24th at the Sound Lounge, hot new venue going on out there. I think that's going to be an awesome show. I'm super excited about it. I also recommend everyone go jump on their Facebook. They've got this really cool retro music video that's like made to look like it's an 80s community access thing with like stop motion and like really bad green screening.
Uh-huh.
But it's, you know, it's pretty new, but it's just a masterpiece of, like, you know, like retro filmmaking.
Sounds fun. Sounds fun. That's Daydream Machine. And he said Sound Lounge, brand new venue?
They've been around for about 6 months now. Going a little late last year, but they're really bringing in a lot of the great stuff. As I understand it, the booker there used to work at the or run a lot of big shows out of Portland, and he decided just to downsize a little bit, move here. So he's bringing a lot of stuff, touring acts that wouldn't stop before, and he's really, like, making like a real like venue, like good solid venue environment, the kind of thing the Valley has always like really been in strong need of. So,
okay, on to Jonathan Warren and the Billy Goats.
Ah, Jonathan Warren, my old buddy.
Tell us about him.
Jonathan Warren, this guy, what a trip he is. When I lived in Boise as a music reporter, I used to just see him riding around on a longboard being towed by a dog all the time, and his band is so good. this guy is like, he's like from the South. He's just got this real, like, authentic, gravelly, gritty voice, and they just go and tour everywhere constantly. And it's just good, honest, solid music. Like, a lot of times, I mean, like, there's a lot of fake Americana going on right now where it's just people are like, hey, I work at Google during the day, but in nighttime, I strum the old banjo. And it's like, I don't believe you. And I see Jonathan Warren, and I'm like, I believe you so hard. You are like, you wouldn't be seen in a sports car. Like, you, it would somehow be, like, beneath you. Like, you're a pickup man all the way.
All right, let's get a chance to believe Jonathan Warren and the Billy Goats. Fun stuff. That's
right?
quite an interesting mix of sounds in there.
Yeah, and the bass is covered by a guy named Dave who plays the cello and is just classically trained, beautiful. And they've got a great string section, great sound, just really, really good atmosphere, good presentation. I mean, Jonathan Warren, the Billy Goats, total package. I can't believe I actually just said that. The total package. Man, I want to like.
You've got.
I
so
wanna, like,
slick now.
I know. I want to like show myself the door for saying that. But seriously, they're pretty solid. I mean, Tuesday, March 7th at Oberon's in Ashland. Wednesday, March 8th at the Bamboo Room in Medford. And I love these guys especially because they love to tour off the beaten path. A lot of bands are just sticking to big cities, and they prefer to get out and mix it up with everyone. But of course, these are guys for whom Idaho is the big city, so you know, like, there makes sense to them.
So based on what you were saying about them and about, you know, their true country, and then the reference to
true
yourself.
Americana.
All right, so the reference to yourself though too. I mean, authenticity matters a lot to you. It seems like in music.
It really does. It really really does because like I think of like. Especially music is, it's communication, it's emotive communication, and you're communicating through sonic aesthetics. And if what you're communicating is dishonest or disingenuous, then it's basically lying to my face. And I think that's somewhere that it's most obvious is in acoustic music, because there's very little to hide behind. And that's the whole premise of that genre, is that it's very authentic. It's stripped down. You've gotten rid of all of the BS, none of the effects, none of the fancy stuff. It's just you, three chords, and, you know, the sad story you feel like you got to tell people across the bar top. And that's why people hate the Nashville sound so much, is that they feel that it's so fake and poppy. There's like, oh, it's just dressing up and all this, like, you know, production nonsense.
It's been slicked up.
And so it's not, it's just pop music with twang, it's just as manufactured and studio factory produced and cookie cutter as everything else. And so, I mean, when you say, like, there's a difference between, like, real Americana and real country, like, it's just, these are, like, real stories from real people who are out there, like, living real lives, you know, and that can be hard in a world in which everything is manufactured to be, you know, presented as a product.
This is probably a discussion for an entire hour.
Oh,
but
please,
didn't country music end up sort of the refuge of melody in the years when hip-hop and dance pop were at their peaks?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly an argument to be made there. That's definitely a broader conversation. But But, you know, melody is by no means exclusive to anything. I mean, hip-hop really took on a lot of melody, especially auto-tune just gave it this, like, lovely take on melody. But I think here's the thing. I think country is a place where great songs have always been written and will always be written. And a lot of it is just about how it's being presented. But, you know, like, great songs come in many forms. They come in the sort of, like, the hooky earworms that you just can't get rid of, but, like, are ultimately kind of hollow. Or they come in the form of, like, just someone saying something really pure and honest in a way that just resonates with you.
After I said all that about melody, I remember that I was also thinking about a Doonesbury cartoon from years ago where one of the characters is asked to listen to something.
Wow, you just dated yourself.
Well, obviously, but he's asked to listen to this music, and he says, I miss the melody. And then the thought balloon over his head is, I am my father.
Yeah. Anytime you start complaining about the music the kids are listening to these days, I feel like you're venturing dangerously into that territory.
Truly, truly. So let's come back, Josh Gross, to Lyrics Born. That's another
Lyrics
coming
Born.
To
this guy is so good. This guy is a Bay Area rapper. He just tours relentlessly, and I love him so much for that because hip hop is so much better live. And this guy, he doesn't just do like the, you know, like just like a lot of people tour with like an iPod or like something really simple. He has like a full band, including what he calls the Key J, which is someone who's playing like live keyboards. And it's so good to see. And he just like brings a ton of live energy. And it's really, I'm really excited he's coming to town. But
here's some Lyrics Born.
Every time that I get up on the microphone, I gotta dedicate a rap to you, girl. Come on. Every time that I get up on the microphone, I gotta dedicate a rhyme to you, girl. Come on, come on.
So that's Lyrics Born, Applegate Lodge on the 23rd of March.
Yeah, March 23rd.
So hip hop live, you say, is better.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
I mean, did the lyrics change? I mean, is it all spit out live, or is
sometimes
it
sometimes the lyrics change? I mean, like hip hop was actually originally a live medium, and they found the early MCs found the idea of recording somewhat antithetical to the premise, which is that it was intended to be a live sort of battle medium. Like most of the time, it was freestyled. You made your lyrics up on the spot, and it was like it was almost like an intellectual boxing match. So sometimes the lyrics do change, but a lot of it is just that there's an energy and a vibe to it because it's got that perfect like dance beat, that rhythm. You know, it's real, like sharply percussive, and the whole point of MCing is to basically, it's to command the dance floor. I love the parallels between square dancing and hip hop.
I hope when you get there.
Yeah, and I've actually always wanted to see like a square dance MC rap battle where it's now swing your partner round and round while I take this sucker MC down, you know, something like that.
You are the man to stage it.
I'm working on it with puppets right now, but that's a story for another day. So this guy just really brings a lot of great live energy, and I think especially at the Applegate Lodge where they're just looking for the all-night dance party, this is probably going to be a pretty fun show.
Okay, Applegate Lodge on the 23rd for Lyrics Born. Let's talk about Cave Singers.
Oh, let's talk about the Cave Singers. These guys out of Seattle, some really serious pedigree in the background. These guys have members of like Murder City Devils, Pretty Girls Make Graves, like really big marquee bands from the Seattle underground, but they've done this really stripped down bare bones sound. It's super good. Let's hear it.
Waiting for vocals, we're not getting any. Are they coming?
Coming.
How big a band is this then?
Three guys.
Okay.
It's a guitar player, a drummer, and a singer. And it's just, they really wanted this stripped down, bare bones sound, just get back to the real roots of what it was. Just good songs and like a nice spooky vibe. And they had this background in like some of like the sort of Seattle underground punk rock bands and a lot of that sub pop stuff. And it just brought a certain vibe. They had the certain connections and they brought a really like nice raw intensity. It's like, again, it's the authenticity, but also that feeling of like when they say the Cave Singers, they sound like they're singing in a cave. Like they're dispensing the sort of like wisdom of being in that cave for 7 years. These guys have just a huge reputation underground for just, you know, bringing really great live shows. That's going to be March 17th at Brick Room. It's a strong chance it's going to sell out. So if you like that at all, I would recommend going.
It is St. Patrick's Day night. It is a Friday night. I know St. Patrick's Day
falls
on a Friday.
Do people go out on that night? I don't know.
I am told.
It seems like a day for sobriety and staying
home. With a name like Riley, I have a slight idea about what people do on St. Patrick's Day. Josh Gross, always a pleasure to have you back for Rogue Sounds. Thanks so much for being here.
No problem. Glad to be here.